The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hello and welcome to the Circling the Bases podcast, proudly presented by NBC Sports Edge. My name is DJ Short, and I'm joined here, as always, by Drew Silva. We're recording here Thursday night, closing out the week in our expanded schedule here at Circling the Bases, now 5 days a week. If you haven't subscribed, please do, wherever you get your podcasts. We're here every weekday with lots of great stuff. Last week, we actually did a live broadcast through Twitch with Sarah Langs of MLB.com. That was a ton of fun. That will probably be the norm moving forward. We'll have these Twitch shows with the podcast coming out on Friday, but we are taping this show Thursday night since Thursday is also the first night of the NFL draft. And Drew, as great as this show is, we figured some folks might want to watch or follow that, I guess. So we get it. We understand.
Yeah, I think we're okay with football being the dominant sport in the country. I think you and I both enjoy football, and I wrote a little bit of football back when I first started writing for Roto World. So I've got some, and I have some NFL draft props that I'm keeping an eye on. That number 3 overall pick, I'm very interested to see what happens.
A lot hinges on that number 3 pick, and yep. I'm watching very closely. I am a Washington football team fan. Washington football and Mets fan is like the most tortured combination.
Why?
Well, I grew up in the DC area, so that was kind of like a religion down there in the 80s. So I got that bug, and my family is full of New York baseball fans, Yankees and Mets respectively. So that rubbed off on me as well. And they used to have like the different like superstations, like WGN as the Cubs, TBS had the Braves. There was WOR was like the Mets. And they used to be broadcast like nationally, that would be carried on cable. So I got that in DC, like growing up. So I got to watch a ton of Mets games even as a kid, but yeah, it's been a tough road in recent years. And yeah, I'm going to have a close eye on what they're going to do, which could be interesting as well. So
yeah, they're a decent, I guess we don't have to talk about football, but well, I think Washington and I grew up a Washington formerly named, fan as well. Because I grew up in Arlington, Virginia until I was 10 years old, and then became a Rams fan, and then they left St. Louis. And so I kind of hate the NFL, but I also think it's the best sport to bet on.
Yeah.
And so when I do, like, I bet small amounts, but it mainly revolves around football. It feels like maybe the most predictable sport.
As far as, like, DFS goes, I am so much better about football than baseball. It's weird how that works. I'm good at like the season long fantasy and like dynasty baseball, but like DFS, like, I don't know. I feel like there's just so much randomness to me. It's not really my expertise.
Yeah. We've talked about this, but like in baseball, you could spend, Mike Trout is the highest priced player and he'll go 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. And it's not a big deal because it's baseball.
Right.
Yeah, the best player in the, and if you were to spend that kind of money on, I don't know who would be the highest priced football player. I don't know. It's escaping my mind who that would be, but let's say like Aaron Rodgers or something who might get traded apparently. Right. And he gave you 0 points or negative points. You would be like shocked.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And originally, like, before I got into writing about fantasy baseball, like fantasy football was like, that's, I mean, I was a huge baseball fan and that was like a number one sport for me, but playing fantasy football was like my favorite thing to do. So yeah, it's kind of funny how that all,
And, you know, I mean, fantasy was started as a baseball thing, but football is what drives this industry right now. And I think you and I were both so thankful that the NFL put on a season last year that kind of shrouded the whole COVID thing. They just pretended like it didn't happen, which
yeah,
debatable whether that's a great thing from a character standpoint. I don't know how else to put it, but you know, they trudged through and just kind of pretended like it wasn't going on, which, you know, in some ways saved our industry, man.
Yeah, I was going to say that. And actually, if you want to follow everything that happens through the NFL draft and trades and all kinds of crazy stuff that might go on over the next couple of days, make sure to download our new app, the NBC Sports Edge app. It's in the Apple App Store, Google Play App Store. It's, you know, if you want to keep up to date with everything happening, all the breaking news, it's perfect for that. And also, you know, fantasy baseball, you can set alerts for, you know, players in your fantasy team or just like your favorite team. I have alerts set up for like Jacob deGrom and Francisco Lindor. But there's all kinds of cool stuff you can do with it. So definitely download that if you haven't already. It's pretty much the bread and butter of what we do. So I think it's definitely worth downloading if you haven't. So this episode today, since we're not doing the live show, is mostly going to cover waiver wire pickups and some matchup picks from the weekend. I put out a column every Thursday called Waiver Wired. So we're going to go through a few names from there, which might catch your interest before getting into those matchup picks. So I'm going to pluck a couple of names from Waiver Wire to start out here. The first one I think I want to bounce off you, Drew. Giovanni Gallegos I'm putting on here. This was as of this morning. It was 43% rostered in Yahoo leagues. And this is not like something where there's an immediate need for it necessarily, but just watching Alex Reyes, who hasn't given up a run yet. So we should preface it with that.
Amazingly hasn't.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, he has walked 10 of the 47 batters he's faced. He's thrown and 10 and a third innings, right? 10, yep. batters, 10 walks, 10 in the third innings, four wild pitches. That game last Saturday, I believe, like he was on the verge of a meltdown and it didn't happen. Maybe it was Friday. It was on the verge of a meltdown. It didn't happen. I think it's just a matter of time before it does. Now, Mike Schilt has had nothing but positive things to say. And why wouldn't he say that? Obviously, and his teammates have had, you know, positive things to say about his, you know, his mindset and like that he's perfect for late games and that kind of stuff. I don't know how much of that is like trying to build him up or what, or build his confidence. But I, as a Cardinals fan from you, like, where do you feel Alex Reyes is and Jordan Hicks for that matter?
Well, Jordan Hicks has been working like pretty early into games. Like the sixth and seventh inning is when they bring him in. So they, clearly, like, it was kind of a surprise when Schilt said on opening day, it was like the morning of opening day, where he said, you know, they're going to go with Alex Reyes as their closer to begin the year. And everyone, I think, throughout the spring, even myself as a Cardinals fan, thought, oh, this is going to be, they want Jordan Hicks to have this job, but they feel like his control is not there yet.
Yeah. And it hasn't.
It hasn't been. Yep. And I noticed when you had Giovanni Gallegos in waiver wire, I was like, that's interesting. And, again, yeah, Alex Reyes has not given up a run, but to flirt with putting runners on like he has, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's due for disaster. I think the stuff looks better than, you know, it looks as good as when he was the top pitching prospect in all of baseball. And so that's really encouraging. But yeah, this is due to go south pretty quickly. And Gallegos has been the Cardinals' most reliable reliever since they got him in that Luke Voit trade in mid-2018, if I have the years correct. He's been fantastic, and you can put him into a situation where he has to put out a fire, and maybe that's what they like right now with their setup is we can bring him in the seventh or eighth inning if there's runners on base, and he's just so solid, so reliable. He doesn't walk a ton of batters. He's not going to hit Bryce Harper in the face and then hit Didi Gregorius in the ribs on back-to-back pitches like Genesis Cabrera.
Right.
So I think you're smart to be looking ahead here and thinking Alex Reyes is going to have a really bad outing or a string of really bad outings soon, and they're going to have to go with Gallegos for save chances. And when they have a lead late in a game, they're going to throw, you know, Tyler Webb at the problem. They're going to throw Ryan Helsley at the problem. They're going to throw Jordan Hicks and Alex Reyes at the problem sometimes. But I think by the end, if they're up like one run in the ninth inning, Gallegos is obviously their most reliable reliever.
And you bring up a good point. Like, where do you want to use your best reliever? I think that's kind of the situation a lot of modern bullpens find themselves in, where like, yeah, actually, like having Alex Reyes start the ninth inning
clean is nice.
Nobody on base. That's kind of what you want. You think maybe he can navigate that a little bit. But as opposed to maybe Alex Reyes coming on in one of those situations we were talking about, where like maybe there's a runner at second base and you have a 2-run lead in the seventh or eighth inning, like that could maybe be pretty disastrous.
They've also said that he has 100 innings in him this year. And remember, they were stretching him out as a starter this spring, and he did enough to claim that fifth starter job, especially with Kwang Young Kim and Miles Michaelis opening the year on the IL. But they were like, we want to put him in more controlled situations where he's not going to be relied on for 4 and 5 innings at a time. So I think the idea coming out of spring was, let's put him in the closer role for now, and hopefully Jordan Hicks is up to speed by the end of the first month going into May, and we can put Reyes back into sort of a more of like, you know, he's going to pitch between the sixth and seventh innings and have multi-inning relief appearances. But now it's like, all right, Hicks is not there yet, which is understandable coming off Tommy John surgery. And, you know, he was never necessarily like a great, you look at the numbers, even for a dude that touches 103 miles per hour with his fastball, he doesn't have like dominant major league numbers.
Right.
And especially in the strikeout realm, which it's weird because he throws 102 miles an hour with movement. You'd think he'd be able to strike people out. But I think that batters kind of know what to expect with him a little bit and can lay off the pitches that are going to be that nasty. So I don't know. It's an evolving situation, and I mean, Giovanni Gallegos is still the best pitcher in that bullpen, and you know the way that fantasy scoring is doesn't always reward the best talent in a bullpen, and we've talked about that on a ton of different podcasts. But yeah, it would be really smart to at least stash Gallegos and maybe just put him on your active roster every week in fantasy.
Yeah, at the very least, he's likely to help your ratios and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And in a head-to-head kind of format, he might make the difference. You never know with strikeouts or vulture a win or something like that. So I think it makes sense to stash him, especially with the Cardinals team, who I think is very much they're going for it. They're a win-now team. You know, you have Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt on the corners. Like, they're not getting any younger. So like
Wainwright and Molina on 1 year contract.
Yeah. Like they're going for it. They remind me of like the Giants from a few years ago.
Yeah.
When they're and just kind of full of veterans and going for it.
I expect them to be pretty active at the deadline too. There's Max Scherzer. That talk has already started, and right. It would not shock me if the Cardinals make a big play there. Impending free agent. And to me, as sad as it is, I think the Nationals are in for another rough season.
Yeah, they very well could be.
Josh Bell looks terrible, man, which right. My dad's a huge Nationals fan, and he was like, he didn't know a ton about Josh Bell, and I was like, oh, well, you know, he had a really good, you know, 4 or 5 months with the Pirates. I think he could get back to that. He's been pretty bad recently, but I don't know. What happened to him? Maybe it was just he got hot, and that's that.
I don't know. I mean, I think like the weird start of the season for him with the COVID situation obviously hasn't helped. So I think he'll be better, but he's made some decent hard contact recently. But seeing him this series against the Mets, like his swing, like he was just way behind.
He's late. Yep.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I think he'll be better, but maybe not up to the level we thought he would be this year. Another player I had on here, ex-Cardinal Colton Wong, he actually went down with an oblique strain earlier in the month, but since coming back, he's been amazing, hitting over 500, hitting leadoff in that Brewers lineup, which obviously is missing some pieces right now. It's not an overly impressive lineup at the moment, but he's been pretty much their best player recently. We talked about Wong in the spring, and we're kind of optimistic about him going to a hitter-friendly ballpark for really the first time. And I think that's borne out. I mean, you think 2 years ago, he had 11 homers and 24 stolen bases. Gets on base, hitting leadoff. Like, maybe he should have gotten some more attention than he did, I think.
Yeah, you've tailored this show's topics directly to me because I can just like, talk about these guys off the top. Yeah, I appreciate it. Because I got to be monitoring, the 49ers are up.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this is it. Like, whatever happens here, like, the rest of the night is going to be interesting. So we're both watching it closely.
But no one cares. Yeah, tell me who they take. But, yeah, I mean, Wong coming into the year, I was super optimistic about. And he's been so up and down throughout his career. Like, 12 home runs, 20 stolen bases as a rookie. Finished high in the Rookie of the Year balloting. When he did that back in 2014, I was like, okay, let's project this out. Is he going to be a 30-30 guy, a 30-40 kind of threat with amazing defense at second base? It never really worked out that way. I hesitate to say this, but he's a bit of a head case sometimes, I feel like. I think it gets in his own head. Like, he would still bring up that he got picked off first base in the 2013 World Series.
Right.
And he would like cry about it in the locker room. He seems like a great person, but like things, he carries things with him for probably too many days. And maybe he's a little bit matured now. And going into the year, his career batting line at Miller Park or American Family Field was 310, 378, 484. And Busch Stadium is an extreme pitcher's park. You're not going to have much success lifting balls there. I think that probably frustrated him. And also Mike Matheny would platoon him, which I hated. I was like, the defense is worth just putting him out there.
Yeah.
And he does struggle against tough lefties. That's true. He's not a fantastic overall hitter, but play him for the defense and, you know, just don't bat him leadoff, bat him eighth. You know, that's what smart teams do. They, you know, you bring your guy that kills righties and, you know, you put him down in the lineup a bit.
Nothing's happening yet.
Okay. But no, I wanted to actually be a little bit higher on Wong when we were doing our positional previews. Like maybe I'll go out on a limb here and say, hey, the breakout is coming at age 29.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see that, and playing with I think a change of scenery was good for him. There was some baggage there with the Cardinals, and I think it's really good to see him succeed and be playing every day. And you're right, that Brewers lineup without Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, you're like, how is this a first place team?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's about Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta and Adrian Hauser. That fifth starter spot has been a bit of a carousel so far, though. I think Eric Lauer is filling it tonight. Zach Godley got a start the other day.
Yeah.
The Brewers are an interesting team as well. We talk about the Cardinals going for it. If they could add a bat, like a Trevor Story, do they want to do that? Yeah. They have the rotation, if all those guys are healthy come October, to be pretty dangerous. Whoever comes out of that NL Central is probably going to be an underdog in whatever series they play.
Yeah.
But I would say the Brewers and Cardinals, the Reds are already kind of fading, but it's early. I don't know.
So Colton Wong, this was as of Thursday morning, was rostered in 35% of Yahoo leagues. I think he's a really solid, like, middle infielder type. I don't know about being a starting option for you at second base and like a shallow league, but certainly if he's out there as a middle infielder, you should jump on that. Two injured pitchers, I guess not injured, but rehabbing pitchers that I put in the column this week, Nate Pearson with the Blue Jays, Framber Valdez with the Astros. Nate Pearson actually just got activated and then optioned by the Blue Jays Thursday afternoon or early evening. I don't think that has any bearing on when he's going to show up with the Blue Jays. He's going to have an innings cap regardless. I think it's just the Blue Jays probably want to push that back as far as they can. So that does impact you a little bit if you wanted to stash him because you can no longer put him in a IL spot. So it makes it a little bit tougher to stash him. But I think he'll be up in the majors within the next like 3 weeks, possibly.
Yes, I would say that confidently. Yeah,
yeah, and they could certainly use him.
I would say next 2 weeks, pretty confidently.
Yeah, probably, probably. It's weird. The minor league season, I guess, is getting underway.
May 4th, right?
Yeah, so within about 5 days, 6 days. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good to actually have minor league games back because everything feels so weird. Like, we hear some reports from, like, the alternate site, but, like, it's just not the same.
Yeah. You can tell me Bobby Witt Jr. is tearing it up, but I mean, against who?
Yeah, it'll be nice to get that data and see these guys in, like, more competitive environments.
It was cool to see that Wander Franco is going to start at Triple-A Durham, though. He's skipping Double-A. So,
right.
And Willy Adames is off to a rough start. I wonder how quickly Franco will be up. Right. I have no guess on that. I'm sure people would like to know, but maybe May?
I don't know. I don't know.
I would say probably June, but maybe May?
Yeah, it's so hard to tell. I don't know. And especially since it's the Rays. I mean, they've been aggressive with the pitchers and stuff. But
Shane, did you watch that Shane McClanahan start?
I did. Some nasty movement on those pitches. And the 49ers pick is in, by the way. Okay, so Framber Valdez, like, we know he had the fractured ring finger in early March. And there was a lot of 49ers took Trey Lance. That
did they?
Yeah.
Yes!
So that's interesting. Okay. So
that's really big for me, DJ. Sorry.
So I was hoping maybe he'd slip and Washington could get him either trading up or it did seem like maybe he was slipping in the eyes of some people. So, but you know, that's neither here nor there. So Framber Valdez, of course, went down with that fractured left ring finger in early March. There was a lot of initial concern that maybe he would miss the season, if not all, you know, most of it, maybe all of it. If he was going to need surgery, he ended up avoiding surgery, thankfully. And there's been kind of like vague updates from since then, but he has actually been cleared to face hitters already, which is great news. The Astros pitching coach Brent Strom said Wednesday that he's way ahead of schedule in his recovery. So, I mean, like, if he's already facing live hitters, like, the next step is start to ramp up as if he's, you know, going through a spring training and with the minor league season starting, you know, you got to think by late May, he'll be in the Astros rotation.
I agree. That's my read on the situation too. And I also agree with you that at the beginning of it, it was so vague. They would say like, oh, he's doing well, but you know, long way to go. Like kind of like if you've ever been like on a conference call with like your boss and or some guy's just talking for like an hour, but doesn't really give any information.
Yeah.
That's kind of how the Astros were treating that situation. But if you're starting to face live hitters, that's the progression where, all right, you get into a simulated game, you do a few rehab starts. We could be talking about mid-May.
Yeah, possibly. So, I mean, Valdez is well worth the stash. Roster in 48% of Yahoo leagues as of Thursday morning. And he was the Astros' best pitcher last year, believe it or not. 3.57 ERA, 76 strikeouts, just 16 walks over 70 and two-thirds innings. And that was before the postseason where he was unquestionably the ace during that run for the Astros, which almost brought them to the World Series. He was really good. And coming into the year, or at least coming into like January, we were talking about Valdez maybe being like a top 30 starting pitcher.
Yeah.
So this is a big addition if he can come back and be, you know, close to what he was before. So this is a really good opportunity, you know, find a player like this on waivers.
I think. Grab a guy that people forgot about that, you know, before spring training was, you're right, going, I think even as a top 25 starter.
Probably with some folks. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. We actually talked about Evan Longoria in last week's show. Mm-hmm. But he got hurt. He hurt his hamstring, missed a couple of days. I was starting to get worried because he is, 35?
Yep, exactly.
I was starting to worry a little bit that maybe he would require an IL stint. He didn't. He's played in a couple of games this week. I think he drove in 3 runs in his first game back on Monday. He just continues to rake, man. He's been...
And like the batted ball data bears it out. We talked with Sarah Langs about how like maybe... You know, having a shortened season was good for him, a guy who's dealt with plantar fasciitis and you know, played, he was a star when he was 21, 22 years old, part of a team that went to the World Series with the Rays. A lot of mileage on those legs, and like maybe he enjoyed the 60-game season and came back a little bit fired up this year and healthier, obviously.
And his batted ball data last year did indicate that something maybe changed. Like, he was hitting the ball harder last year. It didn't really show in the final numbers. Like, he had a sub 800 OPS, but like, he was hitting the ball hard. He rated well and barrel percentage, average exit velocity, stuff like that, stuff you want to see. So I'm kind of buying this, to be honest with you.
Did you mention that note already about the where he ranks in the hard hit percentage? I
have it in waiver wire that he ranks third in hard hit percentage behind only Giancarlo Stanton and Byron Buxton. Like, seriously, that's crazy.
It's early, but that's still insane, man.
Yeah. And sometimes we talk about average exit velocity, and I kind of hate the average exit velocity stuff sometimes because you don't separate it for fly balls and line drives. Like, if you're hitting the ball on the ground and you're 35 Evan Longoria, like, that's not right. That's not great.
It's all in context.
But if you separate it for fly balls and line drives, Longoria is fourth behind Stanton, Juan Soto, and Byron Buxton. So even if you look at it that way, he's hitting the ball hard, he's hitting it in the air. You know, the Giants home stadium, whatever it's called this week, is actually a little better hitter stadium than it's been in the past, like what its reputation is. So I think he's a really, really nice pickup right now, and only rostered in 30% of Yahoo leagues. So he's out there in a good percentage of competitive leagues, even. And just sort of like Buster Posey, who's looked great too. And the Giants have been a nice surprise. We'll see if they can keep it going. But those guys have been a big part of that for sure.
That rotation leads the majors. It's like they got a combined 2.22 ERA from their starters, which. I mean, but besides Kevin Gausman, I don't think anyone was super high on that starting pitching.
No, definitely not.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Pavin Smith with the Diamondbacks, I think, is a little bit interesting too. And there's not like a big sample here, but he does have 59 batted ball events, you know, as of Thursday, 31 of which have registered 95 miles per hour or higher. That's really, really good. Really, really promising. He's had some good minor league numbers, like not really like amazing power, but someone we, you know, should certainly be tracking. And with the injury to Cole Calhoun, going on the injured list, he is going on the injured list again, right?
Yeah.
And he just came off recently too, so it's really too bad. His playing time should be secure. I know Christian Walker should be back soon, and there was maybe going to be a question about playing time for Smith, but you know that's not really a concern at this point. I think in a shallow mixed league, you don't really need to worry about this situation, but. Smith, we're talking about someone who's available in 90% of Yahoo leagues. So you could take a chance on him if you need a corner infielder, you have some extra utility spots, even if it's a five outfielder format, because he does qualify out there as well. But I, you know, looking at those metrics, like these are the kind of players I think you should jump on.
While we're talking about the Diamondbacks, I might need a mea culpa on Carson Kelly too.
Okay. Yeah.
But remember when we had the debate about Carson Kelly or Wilson Ramos? Yeah. Ramos is going down, and Carson Kelly. Speaking of batted ball metrics, Carson Kelly's right up there with, you know, a bunch of MVP candidates.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's changed. Like, he was pretty good 2 years ago, but it wasn't quite like this. But.
Yeah. Everything looks kind of legit, though. And, of course, it's early. But if you're looking at the underlying stats, the batted ball data, this looks kind of for real, that he could really emerge as at least a top five fantasy catcher moving forward. He's 26 years old.
Yeah, I mean, and he was a top kind of prospect catcher with the Cardinals. Obviously, you know, Yadier Molina's presence, he was kind of expendable. But shouldn't be shocking that he's developing at this rate. I think someone who might be surprising, that's, I guess, on the rise, Kyle Higashioka with the Yankees. Yankees manager Aaron Boone said Tuesday that Higashioka has earned more in the way of playing time over Gary Sanchez, who has struggled to begin the year, never, you know, been much of a great hand behind the plate. And we've kind of known Higashioka as like that defensive specialist, you know, paired up with Garrett Cole. But he's hit the ball really well this year so far. And Lindsay Adler of The Athletic pointed out the other day in a column, but also she did a tweet about it, that the Yankees hitting coach Marcus Thames has tried to impress upon him that he should see himself as a contributor on the offensive side in addition to defense. I think, you know, when you're someone who only plays a couple days a week and you're there to guide a pitching staff and you're viewed as that defensive catcher, maybe you're not thinking about the hitting side as much.
It's his job to take, man. I think they're all kind of frustrated with Gary at this point. And we knew that coming into the year, that, you know, probably has some of the best raw power of any catcher. But in our catcher preview episode, we both agreed that his future is probably a DH, maybe in the National League when the universal DH becomes a thing after these new CBA talks. And I think Gary Sanchez will have a lot of success in that role, but he's not a catcher anymore.
Yeah. So I think he's an interesting flyer here. And maybe not, obviously not in like a one catcher league. But if you're in a two catcher format, you know, the field is kind of wide open once you get past any of the top like 15, 16 options. So I think he makes for a fine, you know, speculative option in that Yankees lineup in Yankee Stadium with some improving batted ball metrics. And I think his percentage keeps climbing and climbing as far as, you know, the number of leagues that he's rostered, but 13% as of Thursday morning. I think that's only going to increase here in the coming days.
Yep. I saw you had a Tyler O'Neill as like, he's looked good since he's come back from the injured list of what, 3 home runs, and he's sneaky fast too. He won a gold glove last year, really good defender. I think he's going to lock down that left field job the rest of the way. And, you know, I get frustrated with him at times, but I think 2 of those 3 home runs have come off breaking balls, if I remember correctly, having watched every Cardinals game, at which that was his problem, like recognizing pitches. And so I don't know, maybe something has clicked for him where he's developed a more disciplined approach at the plate and is able to recognize pitches a little bit better. I have high hopes for him, man. Incredible minor league numbers. And now has a real opportunity to lock down an everyday job and keep it the rest of the way. For him to only be 6% rostered is kind of surprising. Yeah. I get it because he's super streaky, but when he gets on streaks, he can steal bases and hit home runs, a lot of home runs in bunches.
Absolutely. So we'll get into these matchup plays for the weekend in a second. But before we continue, a special offer for our listeners. Use promo code BASES10 for 10% off any premium subscription for NBC Sports Edge Plus. Could be either monthly or annual, and for any tier. Not only do you get access to the baseball season tools, but your subscription also covers NBA, NHL, NFL, especially relevant with everything going on with NFL. Before you know it, it'll be training camp and time to gear up for fantasy football drafts. So it's a great value whether you just play baseball or your interest is in all sports. So remember, it's promo code BASES10. You can go to NBCSportsEdge.com/premium to get started. So matchup plays for the weekend. I actually put in waiver wire to add John Gray against the Diamondbacks. John Gray, like, his velocity hasn't like fully recovered, but he's actually been throwing his slider more often this season, and it's been a really good pitch for him. He's been really good. I'm trying to remember the exact number here, but basically like allowing 3 earned runs or less in, I think, every one of his starts so far. So really good. Obviously, you know, not pitching in Coors Field for this matchup against the Diamondbacks, who are banged up as well.
Mm-hmm.
The matchup that you should take advantage of. So that's Friday.
John Gray is also definitely going to get traded. Like, we didn't get to talk about the Jeff British news. What did that come down on Monday?
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume that means that owner Dick Monfort's like, hey, we're heading in a rebuilding direction, and Trevor Story's gone, John Gray's gone, Herman Marquez is gone, for whatever they can get for them.
Yeah.
That would be my assumption.
Yeah, Gray's allowed 3 earned runs or fewer in all 5 of his starts. He's completed 6 innings in each of his last 2 and 3 out of his last 4. So, you know, a decent chance he could be there in the win column.
I like Adam Wainwright on Sunday against the Pirates. Maybe he's, you know, rostered in some leagues, but he went 9 innings and in a loss the other night against the Phillies. 2 runs, struck out 8. His K per 9 over the last 2 years is 8.2, which, you know, it's not elite, but that matches what he was at when he was winning, or when he was like finishing second and third in the NL Cy Young balloting. 3.43 ERA, 1.11 whip, 86 strikeouts over his last 94 and a third inning since the beginning of 2020. He's kind of like, just, you know, he's healthy, I think, is what it comes down to. He's not a guy who's going to like add velocity and hit another level of his career, but very cerebral pitcher who uses that. He throws a unique, he's just a unique pitcher, I think, for batters to face.
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah, where he's just throwing 89 and he's doing like kind of a Greg Maddux impression.
Right.
And it's kind of working. He's going to have some blow up, you know, starts here and there because he doesn't throw hard. And when batters key into him, they can really make a lot of hard contact. But to be facing that Pirates lineup, I'd be very confident, you know, coming off. I think he threw 107 pitches over 9 innings. Very efficient. He pitches to soft contact, and that Pirates lineup generates a lot of soft contact. So I like his odds at a win and some strikeouts on Sunday.
John Gant gets the Pirates on Friday, right? Like, yep. That might not be a bad play as well. I like Jameson Taillon against the Tigers on Saturday. I know he hasn't been very good so far, but like, the secondary numbers are good. The stuff looks good. You know, if you really, you know, if you see Taillon on waivers right now, which is a decent chance he's out there, he's rostered in under 50% of Yahoo leagues. I think it's a good matchup for him to get on track. So, you know, don't rule out that possibility. Garrett Richards gets the Rangers. I don't really like the Rangers lineup. No. Garrett Richards, or the Mets made Garrett Richards look like Cy Young this week. So we'll see if he can keep that momentum going. Not a bad, especially since the Red Sox are such a good hitting team. I think it's a good chance to get a win there. I like David Peterson against the Phillies as well on Sunday. Peterson's had a couple bad starts, a couple good ones, but he's done a really good job keeping the ball on the ground. He's had some home run issues, but I don't expect that to continue. I think he's going to be decent most of the time. Maybe some blow up starts, but the Phillies also have some injury questions right now. They're missing Gene Segura. We'll see what happens with Bryce Harper, like you referenced earlier. And Didi Gregorius. We'll see what's going on there as well. So they're missing some pieces. This could be a chance to take advantage of maybe a banged up team.
Looking forward to the Trevor Rogers, Max Scherzer matchup on Sunday too. I mean, those guys are both rostered, but let's see if Trevor Rogers is for real, man. He has like checked all the boxes out of the gate.
Looks like it.
Another young arm for the Marlins to build around.
Yeah. Yeah. And that wasn't one we were really talking about.
No, he was flying. We were talking about Sixto Sanchez and Pablo Lopez and you know, Elizar Hernandez.
Yeah, exactly. And we haven't even seen him yet. We may see him soon. So,
and Edward Cabrera, I think, is getting back into the swing of things too. He could make his debut maybe later this year too.
Yeah. Jesus Aguilar has been on fire recently for the Marlins. I actually led with him in waiver wire because originally I was going to talk about him, but then, you know, hitting all these home runs this week, he's over 50% rostered. But there's still a decent chance in some shallow leagues he's out there. He's been lofting the ball more this year. His plate discipline is like much improved from when he first came into the league. So I think he might stick in a lot of leagues as the season moves along. But like I said in the beginning of the show, next week we're going to go back to a live show with a guest to be named later, I guess is the best way to put it. But we'll try to find a good one for you. It'd be a good show. Check it out on Twitch. We're probably going to go live, like I guess, like every Thursday at 9 p.m. It'll probably be 30, 45 minutes, but it'll be a fun show. So looking forward to doing that and having more interaction with viewers and listeners. So something to look forward to.
Agreed. I think those shows will be really fun moving forward.
Definitely.
The NFL took our stage tonight. But
yeah.
Trey Lance, number three, man. That was a huge prop.
Oh, okay. Now, I was wondering why you were so excited. All right. Well, I'm happy for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you like what you're hearing with this show, Circling the Bases, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review if you don't mind. We've gotten some reviews recently, which are nice to see. We could always use some more. Follow us on Twitter if you don't already. I'm at DJ Short. Drew is at Drew Silv. Be safe out there, and we will see you next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.